Revelation chapter 2. Cynthia's mother-in-law, Pat, they have called in hospice. Y'all remember her in prayer, okay? As you're turning to Revelation chapter 2, I tried like crazy to arm wrestle God out of this message. I was going to preach on trials and temptations. And I mean, I wrestled Him. He gave me this message earlier this week. I knew I was supposed to preach it tonight, but I thought, you know what? It would be better. This other message would be better. God. And I even studied it all the way through the play when I wasn't speaking or doing my part. I was trying to get God to see it my way. All the way up to the point that I flipped it back over and just read the first verse and said, all right, Lord, I'll give it to Him. Amen. I'm going to give you a moment of levity. That means something to laugh about. I'm kind of upset with you guys. To be honest. Two Sundays ago, when the handshaking song came on, in the first verse, I took off shaking hands. And nobody covered me. People looked at me like I was lost my mind. I was sitting right there. Everybody stood up. First verse, I take off shaking hands. We're supposed to wait till the end of the song. I made it all the way to the back. And people were like... And I got all the way back up here and the teenagers were like, you went too early. I'm just telling y'all have got that part down pat. Y'all ain't coming off that first verse. I mean, it was like this. And that thing becomes a game too, don't it? It's like some people turn their back on you and go the other way and you were about to shake their hand. And you don't know whether to chase them down. Never mind. If we can't laugh a little bit, that's just good. Amen? Anna pulled a 360 on me right up here and I was just like... Amen? Then you just got to do the point like you was... All right, Revelation chapter 2. Let's get somewhat serious. Under the church, under the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. When you read that at first, you're like, who is that? Well, it's Jesus. Amen? And if you just read one chapter over, it explains it very clearly, starting in verse 13. And in the midst of those seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. I wonder why, did you notice that he noticed his hair color, amen? He noticed his hair color, then he noticed his eyes, but then he describes his feet. God, can y'all handle that kind of stuff? Yes, he went like this. Because he automatically, see, what had happened, he heard a voice behind him speaking, and he turned, and that's who he seen, and he realized it was Jesus. The glorified Jesus, amen, the resurrected Jesus, the one in glory Jesus, and he melted in front of him. I hear people a lot saying, when I get to heaven, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you exactly what you're going to do. You're going to do exactly like everybody else who came in the presence of the resurrected Jesus has done. You will fall flat on your face like a dead man. And on your way down, you might be able to recognize a couple of things. Maybe his hair is white, maybe his eyes look like fire. And maybe his feet look like brass. Amen? People all over the world are saying, wonder what Jesus looks like. Wonder what color. Don't wonder anymore. Just read your Bible. It'll tell you exactly what he looks like. I love that. I don't have to guess. But I love, this is so real to John the Revelator. This scripture is so real to him. If you have a red letter Bible tonight, if you're reading out of a red letter Bible, have y'all noticed that chapter 2, 3 are all red letter? Have you noticed that? Well, if you ain't got a red letter Bible, and I'm just telling you this, believe me, it starts in the first chapter about the verse 18, and it runs all the way through chapter 2. Do you know how serious he took this revelation as if God was speaking? This is exactly what he pinned down, as if Jesus, the one who walked with him for 3.5 years, had spoke it. This is God's word, amen? Ain't that exciting? That's exciting to me because guess what? God said, hey, I'm going to show you the end. I'm going to show you exactly how to be as a Christian believer as the church. Sometimes we don't know how to be the church because we won't read about how to be the church. Oh, amen, preacher. Verse 2 starts out again. I love this part. I know. But can I stop? Can I go back? I can because I got plenty of time. These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand. Guess who those 7 stars are? It says it over there. It's the angels of the churches. Ain't that cool that God can hold all the angels in His hand? He's got complete control of the angels, and He's walking in the midst of the church. Amen? Now, have you ever wondered why we do church? It doesn't make sense, does it, sometimes? I'll say it this way. Every once in a while, as a pastor or as a minister, I'm always amazed when people pull in the parking lot of the church on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Because you can be anywhere you want to be. You can be doing whatever you want to do. But you keep coming back. It don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense sometimes that we do the things we do as Christians. Because we do those things is because Jesus is in the midst of the church. We are the church. Jesus is weaving Himself inside the church. And I'll say this too, just for explanation point. Sometimes Jesus does stuff in the church despite the church doing what it's doing. You know? I've been to some churches that you couldn't find God or the Holy Spirit with a flashlight and a search warrant. I mean, it's like eating cornbread in the desert without no drink. Amen? I've been there. I'm sitting there going, man, what are these people doing? But guess what? Every once in a while, somebody will get saved. And they'll say, man, God's really showing up right here. No, God's there despite of you sometimes. Oh, God. And I say that out loud. Amen? Some people think that's just a declaration they're doing everything right. No, despite of us sometimes. Despite what we're doing. Amen? I just like to create an environment where He's always welcome and He can always work. I want a church where if somebody says, hey, I need to do this because God's on my heart, do it. Amen. I'm going to preach what God's given me where I can create an environment that when He's walking in the midst of this church, that He can do what He wants to do. Always, not sometimes. As a preacher, I never want to be the person who says, well, a month ago God did, or 2 months ago, you should have been here 6 months ago. God really stirred this place up. Here's what I want to say. You can come today, tomorrow, and next week, and God will be doing stuff at our church. Amen? I don't like talking about what we used to be able to do. Well, you ought to have been here. We had some great old saints. And I love great old saints. Don't get me wrong. But if they ain't here no more and they're on with the Lord, they've been promoted. We need to be great saints. I went to a church for a long time. People kept telling me, you needed to meet old so-and-so. I said, well, where is she? Well, she's been gone with the Lord for a long time, and the church ain't been that way since she's been gone. I'm like, well, one of y'all need to take her place. Some of y'all need to take up the mantle. Somebody should have got the baton when she passed it. Why didn't you take it up? Stop talking about her. I bet she's in glory right now going, somebody pick up the mantle. I left it for you. I left you a blueprint. Love that stuff. Amen? But there He is. He's in control of that, and He's in the midst of the church. And I'm glad He's in the midst of the church because everything He does in our lives as the church or in this church, He makes it make sense when it don't make any sense. If you let God run your life, you're going to be sitting in some hard times coming down the road. And everybody's going to tell you to quit, give up, and hang it up, but you'll be sitting there still glorifying Jesus. Amen, in the midst of it. They're going to be baffled. They're going to say, why do you do this? Well, because Jesus is in the midst. Amen. He's in the midst of who I am. He's in the midst of my church. Verse 2, I know. Y'all like that, don't y'all? Remember, that was just Wednesday when we got into this. I know. You need to underline, highlight that, you bold and crazy Christian. You underline that part there. I know. I need to know that God knows me. I need to know that I'm in a relationship with Him. I need to know that He knows what's going on when I don't know what's going on. Amen? I know thy works. Whew, praise God. I ain't got to tell everybody. Write that down. You ain't got to tell everybody. I don't care if you do all kinds of crazy work. I don't care if you do none. You ain't got to tell nobody. You'll know when to tell and when not to tell. It's almost embarrassing sometimes. I'll run into somebody and I can tell they're trying to work an angle where I'll get them to do something. And I'll say, hey, brother, how you doing? I'm a preacher. I'm a minister. I've done this and I've done that and I did this and I went over there and I've done that. Praise God, I'm good at it. I just asked how you was doing. I didn't want to do an interview. Amen. I didn't want to know that you've been around the world preaching. You're an evangelist. You're a missionary. Praise God, you've done it. I mean, it's good to know, but I mean, we just said hello. Amen? We just met each other. Well, I mean, we can work into some of this stuff, but praise God, you don't have to tell everybody what you do. Just do what you do, and God will open the doors, and He'll let you meet the contacts and the people you need to meet to do what you need to do. I like to get to know somebody before I tell everybody what I do, because if you tell everybody what you do, next thing you know, you'll be driving a church van. Golly, did I say that out loud? Praise God, when I was a young Christian, and I kept telling people how on fire I was, and I swear to God, I wonder if they was trying to put the fire out, because they kept giving me stuff to do. Well, you can teach the youth, and you can do the prayer room, and you can do this, and you can hit the, here's the keys, go pick up the kid. Hurry up. I'm like, Lord, I'm on fire, but now I'm smoking. Amen? Can you have one of these back, one of these jobs, one of these, can I take, I'm still on fire, I still love Jesus. I don't mean I want to do everything. Well, how dare you, brother? Well, I'm really preaching right now, whether you know it or not. You're the church. This should take hold in your heart. Everybody in here has been there before. Amen? So wait on it. Amen? Wait on it. God knows thy works. He knows you. Amen? Can I stay right there for a moment? If you love God and you have faith in God, there should be some works there, though. Amen? There should be. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, and I don't care. I ain't gonna sit here and say this is what you should do, because that's not my place. But if God puts something on your heart, you better do it. Or you'll be the most miserable person not doing it. So God knows your works. Thy labor and thy patience. Amen? I like that part right there, but can y'all get with me right here? I'm not trying to change the word, but I'm just telling you right now, that's more of an endurance thing. Long-suffering and endurance. Amen? Forbearing. You know, God will give you some endurance. Amen? Here, you'll go through some trials. You'll go through some stuff. And the reason you're going through them, this is why, kind of why I was leaning towards that other message, because it ties in right here. Because listen, if God builds patience or endurance in you, right now some of you could be going through a struggle. Amen? Some of y'all could be going through some stuff that's very, very hard. But the reason you're going through it is not for you now. It's for the Christian you'll be 5 and 10 years down the road. Some of the older Christians in this room, you wouldn't be the Christian you are today if you hadn't went through the trial that gave you the endurance to make it now. You're sitting on this end, and somebody would come talk to you and say, hey, I'm sorry that you went through the cancer. I'm sorry that you went through the pain. I'm sorry you lost your husband. I'm sorry you lost your wife. I'm sorry you had this deal. And you would look at them and say, that was very hard, but it made me have endurance with Christ. Now I don't have to rely on everybody else to have a relationship with God. I have a relationship with Him because I've walked through the valleys of shadow of death. I've walked through the pits. I've walked through the places, and I found out God was my God. It wasn't somebody else was talking about God. It's me. I have a relationship. You're good with that? So He'll build your endurance. He'll build your ability to go through some things. There were things in my life as a Christian I thought I went through. I thought I was being treated unfairly. But God was not allowing me to be treated unfairly. He was making me who I was. I've told you about some early trials of my Christianity. The one thing He does is He throws agitation into your life. Say agitator. Oh, really? Sorry. Have you ever had, do you know what a washing machine is? A washing machine is only a washing machine because in the center of it, it has an agitator. Amen? Amen? It's the thing that beats your clothes to get the stains out. Amen? It works. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach. This will be good. Some of you like to do laundry or do laundry. This might help you spread the gospel. There is an agent, which is the Tide or whatever you use, the Cheer or the Great Value product. I don't know. Amen? You just pour it in there. Amen? That's the agent that lifts the stain. Amen? You can go ahead and write blood right there. You can write Jesus. That's the agent, amen, that gets the stain out. Hallelujah. Preach, preacher. Amen. But guess what? There's an agitator in there that kind of, it gets the clothes clean. Amen. Hey, some things in your life, you're wondering why they're there. Now, you got the blood. Hallelujah. I've got the blood. I know I'm saved. But why is there an agitator in there? Because some things won't come out without a beating. Amen. Some things won't come out until you get so agitated and aggravated, they won't come out. But once they get come out, they can be exposed. How many are you glad that sometimes God will expose some of your junk, but it ain't around nobody will hurt you? It helps you, but don't hurt you. Amen? Golly, God took me some places, amen, early on in my Christianity. If I'd had that big of a failure on the stage, amen, then people would have had no confidence in me. But He let me do it in places that only Him and me and a few people, it didn't matter, could see. I'll say it again. Only Him and me and only a few other people that could see. It didn't matter on the big picture, amen. God, I'm preaching, y'all. Yeah, I'm preaching better than y'all, amen, and I can tell you that. Because this, God has worked some things out of you, amen. Do you remember when you was first saved? And if you had acted like that now, it'd have been a mess. But now He's starting to get some stuff out of you. And you can say, hey, I don't have to blow my stack every time. I don't have to punch that guy. I don't have to punch that girl. I don't have to get my 2 cents in. I ain't got to wrestle with them. I'll just let God do it. Man, that's good preaching. I'm telling you, that helped me. Hey, it's times, friends, you just got to sit back and let God walk around and get in front of you and let Him take on the battle. You just sit back and say, man, you won't lose your peace about it. You won't lose your joy about it. You won't lose anything. Oh, man, you might even gain somebody in that. Because somebody will watch how you went through the fight, how you went through the argument, and you didn't blow up. Amen? What? I don't know. That helped me. Y'all good? I know thy patience, in which thou cannot stand, nor bear them which are evil. Man, I'm glad that's in there, ain't you? And sometimes we almost act like it's wrong in 2016 to be a Christian and hate evil. Amen? I mean, so something's evil walks up and we call it evil, and that's people say, well, you're just hating on people. I ain't hating nobody. When I was doing evil and somebody called it, praise God, it helped me, because then guess what? When I changed and got out of the evil, I call it evil now too. And my evil wasn't no different than anybody else's evil. I'm serious. I'll call my evil for what it is. Amen? But I can't condone my evil and then crush somebody else's evil. Amen? All of a sudden, I got this little pet evil over here that I like. I'm preaching. Amen? You'll be all right. You just got this little pet evil over here. It's just a little evil. You don't want to hurt you too bad. Amen? But your big evil, I don't like your big evil. You need to get right. Amen? No, what I got to do is I got to call my evil bad. It's bad, wrong. And your evil's bad, wrong too. Amen? Good. But they hated evil. And God's seen it. Amen? It's good. He's seen it. And all these are good things. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I love that. I love when people do this to me all the time. I've been in ministry a long time, but people do this to me a lot. They'll come to me and tell me, God told me to tell you. Huh? God told me to tell you. I'm like, why didn't God let me in on that? And man, it's always crazy too, and it's always got something with me doing something, and they don't got to do nothing. I mean, this one fella came up to me one time and said, God told me you need to get this and get that, and you need to start this kind of ministry and go do it. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know. God just told me to tell you to do it. I'm sitting there going, my gosh. You think God could have let me in on buying a big old box truck? I mean, that's going to be a big expense for me and my family. I don't know about you. I prayed about it. God said, I don't know him and I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. I ain't going to say he didn't know him. He just didn't know what I was talking about. Because I never got a burden for it. God didn't burden my heart for it. I know what the burden of God feels like. If you don't know what the burden of God feels like, you need to get your heart right with God. The burden of God's heart, when it burdens you, you can't do nothing else. It's heavy. And you know you don't want to carry that too long. All right? But there's people out there that tell you. They'll tell you. They speak directly for God, but none of it comes to fruition. I mean, they'll just flat out tell you, God told me to tell you, God said. I'm like, well, wait a minute, it don't add up with the Word of God, number one. And that next thing, praise God, when's it going to happen? Because when God says it, it happens. Whew. But this is thou, oh, whoa, got way down there. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Verse 3, it's another good thing right there, ain't it? For whose name's sake? They were going for Jesus. Amen? That's another good thing to have, is going for Jesus, not for your sake. Man, I dropped my name a long time ago. I ruined my name. Amen? I run my name to the dirt. I don't go for me anymore, and you shouldn't go for you anymore. You're going for the name's sake of Jesus. Amen? Has not fainted. That means you ain't quit. You ain't stopped walking for God. Thank goodness. That's why there's a lot of men that I have respect for, and one of the number one things is about these men and women, but I'm just telling you out of my heart, is one thing, they never stopped walking when they could have. They never stopped walking. It means a lot for me. My dad told me they had a saying in the prison for a long time. See, prisoners ain't got nothing but time. So if you go in there and you're blowing smoke, they'll be like, all right, we'll just watch you. Amen? And after a while, your walk don't add up with your talk. They're just going to let you ride. That's with inmates or people coming in. My dad would tell me, you know, years in, he said, you walkie-talkie. He said, what? And the men kept saying, you walkie-talkie. He said, they're like, I don't have a walkie-talkie. I'm just a minister here. He said, no. He said, your walk adds up with your talk. We've been watching you for years. He said, amen. He said, there's some other people come in here just like you do, but their walk don't add up with their talk. He said, that man right down there you're ministering to, when you walk in here, he shouts the glory and talks about the Lord, but when you leave, he don't. His walk don't add up with his talk, but your walk does, amen? So that's what you want. Your walk should add up with your talk, amen? And I'm talking about here. If you can shout the glory here, testify here, be good here, out there, amen? Those things should coincide. That's good. Oh, it gets... And thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake, and hast not fainted. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 4, I have somewhat against you. Amen? I have somewhat against you. Now, this right here is where you got to take notice. Could you be in a relationship, maybe with your wife or your husband? Amen? And you run a big list of all the things you do great? Mm-hmm. Amen? I don't know, but I mean, hey, whatever the list is, whatever, you know. But I'm just saying, all of a sudden she says, hey, you got this going on. You take the trash out, you bring the groceries in. Hallelujah, I can do both. I've been tricked into that, Mark. Amen? I've been tricked into it. Because when I first started doing it, she said, man, you are so strong. Right? Look at you. I'm like toting garbage and groceries like crazy. I didn't realize she was just playing me. Amen? Look at you, Mr. Strong. Look at them muscles. I'm like, man, I get all the groceries in one trip. God, never. You just strong. Get all the garbage. Next thing you know, I'm outside sweating and she's in there watching TV. I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, no, that's all right. Listen. But he's talking about you got this relationship going on. And if you had a list of all the great things you do, but all of a sudden there was one thing I have against you, you're going to listen. What's the problem here? He says, listen, because thou hast left thy first love. Amen? Now this makes sense, and I really want you to get this because this is the meat of this message. This is what it all boils down to. He's trying to tell us something as a church right here. He said, if you do all the great stuff that you do, but you've left your first love for me, then all the stuff you do don't matter. Now, can I tie this back in? I want to tie this back in to the relationship of you and your wife. Amen? If you're not crazy in love with her and she's not crazy in love with you anymore, so guess what? All of a sudden you are doing marriage, you are doing all the things in marriage, but you do not have a relationship with her. You do not have a relationship with him. All of a sudden, your marriage, your relationship is about the stuff you do and not the person you're in love with. And then you have something that looks sick and gross to the people that are involved in the relationship, you and your wife, you and your husband, ultimately you and God. Are y'all with me now? Because you have this religious component, or you've got this relationship component, and you're doing, we got the kids, we got the finance, we got the money, we got the groceries, we got the house, we're paying the payment, we're doing the things, but we don't have love for one another, and so therefore you're just passing each other, doing the stuff, but why are you doing it? God has said, I don't want you doing a bunch of stuff, and you're not in love with me, madly in love with me. Just telling everybody about me because what I've done for you. See, I found you in sin. I found you when you didn't have anything. I found you when you were bound for hell. I found you when you were on dope. I found you when you were a liar. I found you in the heaps of sin and I pulled you out. That's why I pulled you out, because I wanted that person to love and adore me the rest of their life, because I already loved and adored you even when you were in your mess. And that's what he wants from you. He doesn't want you to just go to church. He don't want you just to sing. He don't want you just to read. He don't just want you to pray. He just don't want you to hate evil. He wants you to do all these things because you're madly in love with him. Amen. Just like your wife wants you to be madly in love with her. And just like your husband wants you to be madly in love with him. You'll do a lot greater stuff when you're madly in love with somebody. Amen. You'll do a lot greater stuff. But if you're just doing it to doing it, after a while you'll start slipping. Can I show you what that sounds like? I've got to go to church. Get ready. Gotta go. Well, I guess I gotta read that Bible. I guess what they told me to do is I gotta read it. Amen. Well, it's not right, but I don't, you know. That's what it sounds like when you're liable. You just have to do it. But if you're in love with somebody, man, I get to go to church. I get to go down there, man. If I get down there, then I'll get to be a part of that thing, man. It's alive. I want to be down there. And man, whatever that guy was talking about, whatever they were singing about, I'm going to read about it when I get home. Amen? I'm going to pray about it. Man, that's a relationship. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. He wants that red, hot love relationship you had with him when you got saved, if you did. Amen. Amen? I hear some people tell me, well, I've always been a Christian. I've just always been. I mean, even when I was just a kid, I just walked right into Christianity. I've just always been a Christian. It don't work that way. I hate to tell you. It don't. There's a repentance. There's a prayer. There's a vows. Hey, man. I'm a sinner. And what you did at Calvary is important. Hey, man. I have to accept the fact that you're God. And I have to ask you to forgive me of my sins. And then I've got to let you. Hey, man. I've got to let you be the Lord of my life. I've got to give you the keys to this life. And let you drive it anywhere you want to drive it. That's what salvation looks like. Nobody just, I just knew that I liked God. My goodness. No. You gotta know that one day you was lost. Amen? And that's when you first got saved. Remember when you told everybody? You couldn't keep it a secret? You couldn't not tell nobody? Can I ask you a crazy question? When's the last time you told somebody now? Now, I mean, I'll be honest, there's more to you. There's more to you than your day you got saved. But praise God, that'd be a good starter, wouldn't it? Amen. That'd be a good starting point. Hey, I got saved over here in 2004, but hey, guess, since then I've been doing some stuff, and God's been doing some stuff in my life, and praise God, he's pretty busy in my life since 2004, but praise God, that's when he opened the door to our relationship. Amen. Now, hey, I'm going to be honest. Can I get real with y'all just for a little bit? I've been this way since I've been here. I'll just tell you, though. I still can't believe he saved me. That's still what cranks my car every day. That's what kind of gets me down the road. I'm still blown away that he saved me. I'm serious. I mean, people have asked me a lot. I mean, they say, well, have you done this? And why'd you get to do that? Man, it's awesome you get to do that. And I'm like, yeah, that's all great. And they're like, what makes it happen? I said, man, one day. I mean, God thought enough about me, a wretched sinner, that he came by a little old single-wide trailer down in Chatsworth, Georgia, and done it again. Amen? What I mean done it again, I don't mean he saved me again. I mean he came and dealt with me again. When he had no obligation to. I mean, he didn't have no obligation to come again. I mean, he could have washed his hands of me and said, 86, 96, 98, 99. Kevin, I've tried to save you so many times, I don't really have to come by. But I'm still blown away, Mark, that he came by August 28 of 04 and loved me anyway. I wouldn't have picked me for my team. I wouldn't have picked me for the team. I'd have left me off. But that's why I'm going hard for the rest of my life. Because I still can't get over that part. I can't get over the part that he crawled up on a tree and died for me. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He was speaking directly about me. He was directly speaking about you. He said that thinking about you because all the dumb stuff you would do and say against him, he said that for you. And he did it anyway. And then he unleashes the hounds of heaven on you. Golly, help me preach, somebody. Amen? He unleashed the hounds of heaven on you, didn't he? Them Holy Spirit hounds that just keep running you down. Golly, some of y'all got saved late in life. Amen. Ain't you glad he didn't ever call the dogs off? Lord, just let him go. Amen. God, man, I wish y'all, I mean, I'm about that close, Earl, to losing it. Y'all ever watched a good fugitive movie? And they just run through the swamp and they're getting rid of the police clothes and they're throwing off the handcuffs. They're still coming. My God, I'm glad somebody didn't stop praying. Somebody didn't stop loving me. Somebody said, hey, Kevin's still out there. And I'm glad more than anybody else. God said, I'll walk the dark hills and find him. The Bible says he'll walk the shepherd, will leave the 99 and go after the one. Man, ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad that he says, hey, I got a good group right here, 99 of them. Y'all's good. I love you. Hang tight. I'll be right back. I got one off on the other side of the desert. I got somebody on the backside who's lost and undone. The wolves have got him surrounded. He's probably bleeding half to death, but I'm going out for him, and I'm going to call him. Comes through the darkness. Where you at? I'm here. Covered in mess. Surrounded on all sides. Just throw up a prayer. Don't make much sense. Probably anybody could do it. A 4-year-old do it. But that day a 30-year-old done it. God, I need your help. I'm right over here. I don't know what you can do with what's left because I've ruined it. I'm over here on the back side of this mountain, on the back side of this place of darkness, and I've got myself here. It ain't because you didn't want me. It's because I've drove myself here. This is exactly where the enemy wants me. God, can you get me out? Love him, man. So what does he do? He picks you up and throws you on his shoulders and walks you back in. Glory, glory, glory. Them first few weeks, them first few years of salvation, you know what that is, don't you, Scott? Shoulder riding. You don't even know what you're doing, where you're going, how to get there. You just know God's carrying you and you're all right with it. Golly, I wish I had just one radical Baptist or somebody in here just get a little nuts. Half of you just sitting there going, oh no, I want to get excited. I want to shout. I want to testify. I want to do something. But my gosh, if I do, they're going to think I'm nuts. I hate to tell you, everybody in here knows it. If you're still here now, you're nuts. Crazy for Jesus. Crazy for God. I'm crazy for him. You know what half the apostles and disciples, you know James, the one I was going to preach, you know what James called himself? He called himself the servant of God. Well, that's sweet and innocent, ain't it? That's not what it is. He said, it's supposed to say bond servant. You know what a bond servant is? A bond servant is somebody who was a slave. I was a slave to sin. But then they can go free. God comes along and says, I'll pardon you. And I'll set you free. You're no longer a slave to sin. But that person says, but wait, God. I don't want to be set free to run in the world. Can I back myself up to the door? Somebody knows. Somebody's been reading their Bible. See, what they'd do is they'd back themselves up to the door and they'd drive an earring through their ear, and that would tell everybody they was a bondservant. That means they were a slave at one time, but now instead of going free, they decide to be under the master's control. I can go wherever I want to go. I can do whatever I want to. Brother, I just don't want to go nowhere because the master's good to me. I'll be a slave for him even though I'm free. Golly, bum. That right there is a shouter. It is. Remember, verse 5 tells you exactly how to fix the problem. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works. Your first works is repentance. That's how you got saved. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of the place except thou repent. Now, don't get this on a personal level. This is the church. This is not removing your salvation. This is threatening of removing the church of that era or the Ephesus church. But don't get that twisted either, because I'm going to tell you this. If you're in a relationship and the one you love or madly in love with comes and tells you to correct something, especially if it's God, you just correct it. I'll say it again because it didn't get on the uptake right there. If God comes and says, hey, I got one thing against you, go back and do your first works, that means repent and, hey, fall back madly in love with me. You don't say, no, I'm not going to do that. You say, yes, man, yes, sir. Got it? Some of y'all need to hear that. Some of y'all wonder why you don't get the same feeling at church, why you don't get moved by the Spirit of God, why you don't get excited, is because you need to go back to that first place, that place where you get on these altars, or you get in your prayer closet, or you get into your home, or you get into your car tonight on the way home because you don't want nobody to see you do it, and you say, God, I love you, and forgive me of getting slack, and I repent, and I'm sorry, I'm turning from my ways of where I've got cold on you, and I want you, I'd start a new fire in me. Next thing you know, you'll be that radical Christian you used to be. And God won't have to threaten you. Amen? And when I say church, this church is in the same boat. We as a church, we can get the candlestick took out if we don't turn back to Him. Whew. But this thou hast, and thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Can't say that. Which I also hate. He that hath an ear, verse 7, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So what, God just gave you another promise right there. So you repent, you get madly back in love with Christ as a church and as an individual, which you are the part of the church, amen? Then he gives you a reward. What is that reward? One day you're going to walk into glory. He's going to eat of this tree. The day you eat of this tree, remember the other tree, that you're going to surely die. He said, the day you eat of this tree, you will never die. Man, that's what you call eternal life. And God ain't got no guard on that tree in glory. The second, when we go into that place, He'll say, walk over to that tree right there and get you a bite because you made it through. And you'll say, what is this tree, Lord? And He said, that right there, this will be the best thing you've ever ate because you ain't never going to die. You ain't never going to grow old. And heaven's going to be awesome. I like thinking about heaven all the time. But I like thinking about heaven, about what not's going to be there compared to what is there. I don't really care if I get there and the crystal sea ain't nothing but a little bit of old creek. I don't care if I get to heaven and the streets of gold ain't, you know, what I think they are. I don't really care. I mean, you know what I mean? I think God will keep His word. I don't care if the gates of pearl ain't that great. I don't want to see the outside of them any more than I have to. But wouldn't it be cool when we get to heaven? And you're there about maybe, 10,000 years? And you ain't never heard a fire truck? You ain't never heard an ambulance? You couldn't find a funeral home because there ain't never been one? You start thinking around, hey, where's all the tanks and helicopter stuff? Ain't no wars up here. Wow, just think about that. When you get all wondering about God, wondering about heaven, just think about all the things that ain't going to be in heaven. Amen? Then you can shout a little bit. Let's all stand as they come get a song. I hope you've learned something tonight. And maybe you're in that place that I preached about tonight. Maybe you're in that place. That you're doing all the stuff. I mean, you can run a list on me. You can get up right now and run a list on all the stuff you do. But you're not madly in love with Jesus anymore either. Maybe it'd be a good time to come up here and say, "Hey, God, I want that love back. That radical love." As they sing.